John, it was a 4-game series in Oakland against the Oakland A's, and we were hoping for a series win, and we got it. 3-1, and we'll talk all about it. There was some pitching, and there was some hitting, and by the way, the Angels learned how to pitch, Jonathan.
Yeah, they did.
This is exciting. So we have a lot to cover. We have a lot to recap. Plus, you sent in some questions and some voicemails, and so we're going to get to all of those, and you're going to help set the schedule for Locked On Angels today. So we're excited to have you here. You're Locked On with Mike and John, and this is Locked On Angels.
You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're listening on the audio side, you can rate and review the pod. We love 5 stars, by the way. And if you're watching on the video side, you can subscribe and click the bell to be notified every time a new episode hits. And today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, more odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, it's where the game starts.
What's going on? Thanks for joining us for this edition of Locked On Angels. You got the Frisch Brothers, a.k.a. the Super Halo Bros. My name is John, and that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike, and that's my brother John.
Oh, man. So we had to get 4 games worth in a 3-game span, basically. So we had 4
yes,
games
yeah.
over this weekend. That's kind of like you're expecting a 3-day weekend, but then you have to do work on the weekend anyway from
by the way.
Job.
Yes.
But man,
we've got more honeydews for you.
Yeah, exactly. They really crammed in a lot of baseball action this weekend between Friday night's game, the doubleheader, and then Sunday afternoon. So we have a lot to cover in this one, Mike. Let's get right into it.
Can we talk first about the Oakland crowd? I think that all Angel fans would agree that it's the most annoying game to watch.
I don't know. Ward was having fun in right field with the drummers. That was
you
great.
Know what? That guy's awesome, yeah. But I'll tell you, like, I think every year we're like, man, those drummers in the outfield, I get they're having a great time. No judgment on them, but we don't have to mic up the stadium
right.
when we go to
we
Oakland.
We can turn
please.
That volume down just a little
turn
bit.
Turn it down, way down. You know, even when Oakland has 6 people in the stadium, it still is annoying, right?
Like, hey, let's be kind to our A's okay. fans out there.
Okay. All right. Forgive me. Hey, listen, let's talk about Friday's game. The major league debut for Chase Silseth.
That's right.
And he looked incredible. He came up from the Trash Pandas, which, by the way, their starting rotation is one that you should check out because
yeah.
they have some really great guys down there. Kai Bush is down there. Of course, Silseth came from there, and Reed Detmers last year came from there. And here's the story, man. 6 innings, 1 hit, 2 walks, 4 Ks, 81 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's for you, John. Who was the only other Angels pitcher to work at least 6 scoreless innings in his MLB debut?
It's got to be my boy. It's got to be Weave. Dream Weaver.
There's the Weaver reference. He went 7 innings in 2006. Man,
wow.
It feels like it was forever ago. But here's what's really great about Silseth. His fastball was 97. He topped out at 98 miles an hour.
Come on.
And then his off-speed stuff, John, was as low as 80. So almost a 20 mile an hour difference.
Yeah, huge.
And that is so hard to hit. His control in the entire game was great. He left the game with a 2-0 lead thanks to Brandon Marsh and Andrew Velasquez.
Mm-hmm.
Marsh had an RBI single, and then he had a great assist from left field throwing out a runner at third
yeah.
base. He's got a cannon out there. Felt a little Cole Calhounish from left field, right? And then Velasquez hits his first Angel home run.
Yeah, he did.
Deep
Squid.
To right field.
Yeah.
Like he did his best Barry Bonds impression when he hit that home run. And then the bullpen came through. This is why we got those guys, right? Loop, Tapera, Rysell,
mm-hmm.
they all did great. Defense came through. Walsh at first base, he is a wall over there. Nothing gets by him. And there was a great play by Tyler Wade. He snagged a shot up the middle, and Rendon made a jumping catch. And then Rysell came in, Mr. Consistent, until Saturday night. He came in, got his 8th save. Angels win that game 2-0, and they were 22-12 going into Saturday, which was game 2, but game 1 of the doubleheader. So, John, take that one.
Yeah, game 1 of the doubleheader. First, let me say that Chase Silseth looked like he belonged, and that's
he
what
did.
I really liked about his approach on the mound on Friday night. But game 2, Jonathan Diaz, one of the guys that we really like here on the show.
Our boy.
He got the start. And he did it with a lineup without Trout, without Rendon, and without Taylor Ward. Now, That might make you a little bit upset, especially if you're a fan wanting to see those guys and you're like, we got to get this win. But that loss in game one didn't come down to not having Trout, Rendon, and Taylor Ward. We'll get to that.
Right.
But the defense made an immediate impact. As always, Andrew Velasquez had a great jumping catch. Tyler Wade turned a hard drive into third, into an out. We did see Mayfield miss a catch. He may field, he may not, in right. But it didn't cost the Halos anything. And he made up for it later with a shoelace catch and a throw for a double play. So he picked himself up there. They turned four double plays in that game, and it led to Jonathan Diaz pitching 4 2/3, one hit, four walks, and four Ks. Now, the question is, why is Joe Maddon removing Jonathan Diaz at 4 2/3? What is that?
I hated that move. I hated that move. I hated that move. I hated that move. And here's why. It's a doubleheader.
Yeah.
You need a pitcher to eat innings, and he wasn't struggling. He had 75 pitches, and he needed to just get one more out. Mm-hmm. And then you bring in Ollie Ortega, who looked great, for a clean inning. But I mean, Diaz could have been in line to get the win in that game, and to remove him at 4 2/3, unless something is going on and we weren't aware of it, I was screaming at the TV going, what are you doing, Joe? What are you doing?
Let him get that last out, right? And that's kind of something that we've been wanting all season long, but that Madden's going to Madden, right? Now, Paul Blackburn, the journeyman for the A's, he actually matched Diaz with 6 2/3, five hits, one run, two walks, and three K's. So he's really found his stride in Oakland. And the Angels get two in the eighth off of a Rendon pinch hit, got an RBI single, so he was able to come in. Everything looked great, and then Rysell needs to get two outs in the ninth. He gave up a double, he walked a batter, and then he gave up a three-run home run, which was a walk-off home run. So that caused the Angels to be 22-13 heading into game two, but let's talk about Rysell really fast. He is a consummate professional. He is somebody that I would trust with the ninth inning every single time. And this is going to happen. It happens to the best. Rysell is the best. These things happen. And it's okay that it happened in this game one, because we came out in game two and put the hurt on in that game two on Saturday.
Absolutely. And Rysell's last blown save, by the way, was July 28th of last year.
Okay, yeah, see?
So I guess we can give him a mulligan, right? And he was straightforward with it. And Maddon even said, hey, he pulled a Sosh, got to turn the page, right? And so the second game with a doubleheader, Michael Lorenzen starts the game and immediately gets incredible run support. Taylor Ward back in the lineup, and he hits his second grand slam this year, his third in his career. Johnny's had 11 at-bats with the bases loaded, and he has three grand slams.
Come on.
I mean, this guy is unbelievable. It was his eighth home run, and then Shohei followed later with his 100th career home run in the fifth inning, and he crushed that ball, and that was a great celebratory moment. I think that ball was more Instagrammed, if that's a word, than any other picture in the entire planet that day, and maybe for the entire year. But Shohei was so excited about that home run. We were excited about that home run. Mm-hmm. The announcers were excited about that home run. So much so that Michelle Tafoya wanted them to actually shut up on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that or not. But Michelle Tafoya comes at them. And then, of course, Gooby, such a class act, was like, oh, Michelle, I'm glad you were able to watch Angels baseball.
I'm a fan,
and he
Michelle.
Just totally deflected it. It was awesome. Here's Lorenzen's stats, by the way. In amongst all that offense, he is pitching a heck of a game. Seven innings, five hits, one run, three Ks. And speaking of double plays, John, they turned four in this game as well. Mm-hmm. Eight total double plays. And I think, honestly, that's the key to the Angels pitchers, starting pitchers specifically, getting deep into games. Angels win 9-1, 23-13. Quick game note, Renjifo was in this game, and he got hit on the elbow, and dude stayed in the game and actually had one more at bat and actually played a bit of defense. And then they finally removed him in the fifth for Matt Duffy. And it was that classic elbow contusion, which is like a deep bone bruise.
Right.
And so no information on him as of this recording, but he's a dude, man. He stayed in the game and fought. So Angels find themselves up 2-1 in this series. And that brings us to yesterday's game.
Yeah, yesterday's game. My boy, Patrick Sandoval, on the mound. Here's his stat line. 6 1/3, four hits, one run, four walks, and four Ks. Now, I was hoping that the Angels pitching would be able to cruise through this weekend, but Patrick Sandoval had a lot of traffic on the base path, so he was not able to
a lot.
Cruise, right? Yeah, yes, yeah, we had to put it in park every now and then. But for a game where he just didn't look that sharp, it was kind of like Ohtani's last start where it was like, was that a good start? Yeah, I think it was a good start.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. And that's considered a quality start as well. Like, he pitched really, really well.
Absolutely. So there's just, maybe I'm spoiled by how great that some of these guys have appeared in the last few weeks. But yeah, Sandoval got through that. And then, remember how I gave a bullpen shout out to Jimmy Herget during our bullpen MVP segment? Well, he came in and took over for two innings, got the save, his first career save. Ohtani gets home run number 8, which is 101 in his career. Velasquez had an RBI double. Rendon got the insurance run late in the game. Angels win 4-1. They won the series 3-1, and now they stand at 24-13, tied for first with Houston. It's going to be neck and neck with the Astros all season long, they have not played the most difficult schedule. It looks like it's going to get more difficult in the next month, in June, but that's going to give us an opportunity, especially going up against the Rangers, to get some more wins under our belt. And we begin that new series against the Rangers today. We got Thor on the mound against John Gray, who was somebody we were actually interested in maybe signing, but he's actually been hurt to begin the season, but he'll get the start. Reed Detmers versus Taylor Hearn. We'll see how Reed Detmers does after his no-hitter. 1 week after his no-hitter, he's going to be pitching again. And then Wednesday, we got Ohtani versus Dane Dunning. So some good pitching matchups there. I want to call him Dang Dunning because he always finds a way to make us look bad. But we have beaten up on him in the past, so there's some hope there. But all in all, what a great weekend. It's nice to win the weekend and win a series in Oakland for the first time in years. So shout out to the team and taking 3 of 4. That's what we needed this weekend.
Coming up on Locked On Angels, we're going to answer all of your Halo questions. You send in messages via Twitter and Instagram and even voicemail, so we're going to cover all of that. But first, Locked On Angels is brought to you by Built Bar. John and I actually got a delivery this week.
Yeah, we did.
We were so excited. Our friends at Built Bar actually sent us, and if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see, it was upside down. Here you go. We actually received the new Built Puffs, which is delicious. It's birthday cake.
Yes.
And John, you would confirm that it's delicious, correct?
I was out of town this weekend, so when I got home after a long drive, my wife said, "Do you want to try one of those Built Bars?" And I said, "Absolutely." And so it was a nice treat to come home to, and they actually are really filling, Mike.
Yeah, they're very good. And these are the newest puffs, actually, from Built Bar. It's covered in 100% white chocolate with added sprinkles, so that's fun, right? And it's only 150 calories with 16 grams of protein and 9 grams of sugar. And we want to thank Built Bar for sending us these samples. And by the way, if you want to send us more, we'd be happy to receive those. Maybe double chocolate or peanut butter bars. Those are delicious as well. Here's the best news about Built Bar. Whether it's a puff or a bar, these bars or puffs are better tasting and better for you than a candy bar. All Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means that with a Built Bar, you can eat healthy and you can actually enjoy what you're eating as well. Plus, all Built Bars are made with collagen protein, a protein your body absorbs more efficiently and provides a ton of health benefits. So go to Built.com to get the birthday cake puffs today or your favorite Built Bar. Maybe get the 12-pack. That way you can pick and choose what you want. Use the promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Again, the promo code is LOCKED15 for 15% off your order at Built.com today.
Thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. Now for your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast. You get recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts, kind of like Mike and I, taking fans through the season like no other network. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, this is going to be fun because I love these episodes where we could actually answer the questions of those listening. And so thanks for sending in your voicemail and Twitter and Instagram, sliding into our DMs. And so, Johnny, what's the first question we're going to hit today?
We're going to get a voicemail here from Anthony from Hawaii. Here we go.
First of all, I think you guys are doing a hell of a job. Thank you. And I'm actually a Joe Adell fan. And I love the Angels because of Joe Adell. I've been following. What do you think they should do with him? Because I think he brings a childish joy, enthusiasm to the Angels team itself. I know they're winning now, but when they weren't, I don't know. To me, Joe made it fun to watch. What's your take on Joe Adell? And he's killing it in the minors again. I know he might have a little problems in batting, but I don't know. To me, so is everybody else. All right, man, I love to hear your opinion. And like I said, I'm a subscriber on YouTube. I listen to you every time you're on. Thank you so much for everything. Bye-bye.
Anthony from Hawaii, thank you for being a subscriber on YouTube. Thanks for listening to us. Mike, can we hang out with Anthony from
Hawaii? He sounds like
he
a
sounds
fun
awesome.
Guy, right? I guess if you live in Hawaii, you're relaxed and you're calm.
That's right.
Right? Like,
that's
so, right. Anthony, thank you so much for the voicemail, bro.
I want to hang out with that dude. So he had a question about Joe Adell. And yeah, I agree with you, Anthony. Like, Mike and I are fans of Joe Adell big time. And when the Angels were not in contention last season, it was great that the Angels made use of some of those young guys to see how they would perform in the majors. And Joe Adell performed really well last season before he got hurt. And so that's why his time in the majors got cut off last season. And they fully expected him to be part of this lineup every day coming into this season. And you mentioned the batting, and the batting is actually not the problem.
Correct.
It's the defense.
Yeah.
And in left field, Joe Adell has just struggled. I have said it from day one on this podcast that Joe Adell needs to be in right field because I think he gets much better reads off the bat when the ball is hit. But when it comes to Joe Adell being in the minors, he's already mashing again.
Yeah.
He's already doing that. The thing about it is, in the same inning where he'll hit a bomb 500 feet, what it looks like 500 feet, he had an error in left field in Sunday's game. And so that's the conundrum with Joe Adell. And so I think the hope there is that if he can build his confidence at the plate in the minors, which he's already probably doing because he's crushing it, but the biggest thing is he needs reps in the outfield. So while the Angels are trying to win now, Joe Adell needs to get it together defensively. And I think that a lot of the game for him is mental. I think a lot of his setbacks are a mental block, right, Mike?
Yeah. I think if Shohei wasn't on this team, Joe Adell is our regular DH, right? I think he's
100%.
He's rotating in and out of the outfield because he's got an incredible bat, and he's young, and we've talked about how young he is, 23, right? And so just a young guy still developing, and I would hate to give up on him at such a young age because I think that it might take some time for him to develop. Look at Taylor Ward, right? Look at Byron Buxton, who plays for the Twins. It took him a while to put it all together. I think the problem, and Anthony pointed it out, he's crushing it in the minors. Anthony, that's the problem, right?
Yeah,
he's going to hit really well. And in the league that he's in with the Salt Lake City Bees, that league is known to be one where it's really easy to hit. And then Joe comes up to the majors and he hasn't been bad offensively, but as John, you attested, you affirmed, like, it is the outfield play. And any of those errors, as we've already talked about the defense, any of those errors are going to be so costly as we're neck and neck with the Astros. That would be the difference between the Angels finishing in first or the Angels finishing in second, especially when we're playing the Astros, because if he boots the ball in the outfield, we're done, right? That's gonna mess us up, and we can't make any mistakes against the Astros. And like a Trout or a Ward, they get grace because they play solid defense. And so Joe is a conundrum. That's a good word, because what do you do with this really young, athletic, excitable guy? And yeah, he brought smiles to our faces, but smiles don't win games. So I'm with you. I would love to see him in the outfield. I would love to see him get reps. I just don't know if he's going to get reps on this Angel team this year.
To your point about AAA being a hitter-friendly league, his approach at the plate looks different than what it was in the majors.
Okay.
Somebody had a conversation with him and said, hey, get back to what you do well. And I think that that's why he's having such success at the plate.
Good.
But again, he's in the same game where he hits a home run and he gets an error in left field. Those errors have to go away. So he's got to figure it out defensively.
Yeah.
Let's go to another question about a halo we got to look at last season. This question comes from Jeff Mulligan. He said, hey, bros, did I miss something somewhere along the way, or do we still have Chris Rodriguez? He showed so much potential last year, and could he be another weapon in our rotation or the bullpen? Jeff, thanks for sending a question into us at Super Halo Bros on Instagram. To answer your question, Chris Rodriguez had to have a shoulder surgery in the off season. It was a cuff kind of issue, and he is not expected to be pitching with us until maybe the end of this year, and possibly maybe even missing 2022. Now, I agree with you. He was a great weapon in the bullpen. He had a couple of starts before he got hurt, and I think that he would be a piece to slot in either the bullpen or the rotation. My theory would be that if he does come back, given the shoulder issues that he's had over the years, he's a better bullpen piece. But Mike, what do you think?
I 100% agree. I think that he should be in the bullpen rather than in the starting rotation. And mm-hmm. and this is why it's so incredible to be an Angel fan right now, because we have that option.
Yeah.
We can decide. Yeah. I think he should be here instead of there, instead of going, man, we need a whole lot of help, right?
We needed him out of desperation to start last season. And we wanted to see him start.
Yes.
But we also needed him to start last season.
Yeah. I think that he would slot in perfectly in the bullpen. Can you imagine him being in there with Ollie Ortega mm-hmm. and Loop and Tapera mm-hmm. and Rysell? And I think you would start maybe giving him some low leverage situations.
Yeah.
He could be the... after Madden pulls a pitcher early, because he's known to do that. He could be the guy that you bring in that is a bridge to Ollie and those other guys. And so I love Chris Rodriguez, and I think that he's got a Frankie Rodriguez kind of vibe about him, which is why I'd rather have
not
him.
Not just because of the last name?
No, but just because of his fire arm, right? And I think I would rather have him in the bullpen. And isn't it interesting, John, that we're talking about Chris Rodriguez, and you could also throw in a guy like Griffin Canning, mm-hmm. who's hurt right now. And these two guys are not performing because they are on the IL, and yet we haven't felt the pain of that because we have these other arms yes. as well. And we get to actually have a conversation about where they would best fit on this team. So I love that. I love that narrative.
You can bet that Chris Rodriguez is going to be a big part of the Angels pitching staff in the coming years. But Mike, speaking of bets, what do you got for us?
Locked On Angels is brought to you by Bet Online. Check out betonline.net. It's your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. You can find the latest sports developments, the league reviews, any news, including this year's basketball playoffs, which, by the way, did anybody watch the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics play last night? That was an incredible game. And then the Phoenix Suns got blown out by the Dallas Mavericks. BetOnline would have given you all of the lines and all of the props and all of the odds. They would have hooked you up. And so check out BetOnline.net. They talk about basketball. They talk about baseball. They talk about all sports. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. You can head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about trends and actions. BetOnline is where the game starts.
This is our last segment for this episode, and we have another voicemail, so let's get to that one.
Hey, bros, this is Tracy McFate from Henderson, Nevada, lifetime Angel fan, and really like the energy you guys bring to the podcast. My question is that the Angels catching situation with Stassi and Suzuki out at the same time and now having Wallach and Romine, it seems to be even better than seamless. Wallach got a lot of raves. Reviews on the way he handled Detmer's no-hitter. He showed some pop on the ball a couple of times, and then had a caught stealing, you know, got a guy at second base trying to steal. Romine brings a ton of experience. I don't think Suzuki brings a whole lot to the plate. Stassi had a pretty good last year, but he seems to be struggling a little bit. What are the thoughts that you guys have as far as maybe a little bit of tweaking in the Angels catching situation? And then the other thing is just a comment. I went to the game on Wednesday when Shohei pitched against Tampa, and it's just really disappointing to only see like 21,000 people at the game. And it just seems like the Angel attendance, for whatever reason, maybe it's a pandemic carryover, I'm not sure, but the attendance really seems to be down this year. Certainly not the level of the Oakland A's, but it just seems like there's a lot less people in the stands. Thanks. Go Angels.
Tracy, thanks for the kind words, man. We appreciate you listening, and thanks for letting Mike and I know that we're doing a good job, and we really appreciate that. To answer the attendance question, There's a stat here, Mike, that you pulled up. The attendance for the Angels so far this season is 596,846. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Second in the AL. That's normally in line with where they land each year. And I think, Tracy, the problem that you might have run into in that Wednesday game is that it was a 4 p.m. start.
Sure.
And for a lot of working Orange County, you know, a lot of people work in Orange County. It's probably hard to get out by 4 p.m. and most of them are working those 9 to 5. So I imagine it's mostly a work thing, because from all accounts, it seems like the games that start, you know, at 6:37 or whatever, it seems like the stands are pretty full. So
more fans there, right? And you can't count until the third inning, and you have to count before the seventh inning to be able to get an accurate count, right? Because there are those that show up late and will leave early. So, Tracy, thanks for hanging in there the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the kind of person that gets there like while the national anthem is going on. So
yes,
and I don't want to be that person, but it just happens, especially with the traffic coming from Pasadena. But to answer the first part of your question, I'm with you on the fact that Wallach and Romine have done a great job filling in for Stassi and Suzuki. If I had my preference, I would want to see Stassi as our main catcher and Chad Wallach backing him up, because I think that having him call that Reed Detmers no-hitter, what a way to make your second game in the majors really stand for something. And Wallach did that, and he's got pop off that bat. So I would love to see more of Chad Wallach. I think, Mike, you and I have talked about this before with Kurt Suzuki. They brought him back because he's already worked with most of the staff, and it was a one-year deal. And I would be more than happy if Suzuki took a front office job or a coaching job.
Yeah.
But I also think that he has really improved at the plate this season compared to last year. And that, but what I mean by that is he seems a lot more patient. He's seeing the ball better, and he takes walks. And he also can hit Zook nukes out to left field when he really connects with the ball. But I prefer Chad Wallach. But what do you think about what Tracy had to say about the catching situation?
I really like Chad Wallach. I do. I think that we're going to see Kurt Suzuki because they did give him a contract. And Kurt wasn't playing terribly. He was actually playing really, really well. He was catching really, really well. And so I think that we're going to see Kurt Suzuki when he's comes off the IL. I think we're going to see him back in there, which does bring up an interesting dynamic with Chad Wallach, because Wallach is really, really good and has hit really well. And so I think that there's going to be a moment where they're going to have to make a decision. Now, the Angels have shown that they're not unwilling to DFA a guy.
Right.
I just don't think they're going to do that to Kurt, because I think Kurt actually is a straw that stirs the cultural drink in that locker room, right?
The
I think
martini.
You like that? He is the mañana, as what they say on Seinfeld, right? And so I think that he's going to be that guy for them. And so I don't see them getting rid of him, at least this early in the season, maybe later on, but I think that Kurt's going to slot back in, and then Wallach will probably drop back down to maybe AAA and play down there.
Yeah, I don't imagine he'd be there very long if the Angels want to continue to win, because he's got a winning bat, and he's defensively, he's very good as well. Framing, all of that stuff, Chad Wallach does well. Let's go to a question from Mike Gillespie, at Mike Gillespie _ from Twitter. He said the Guardians are currently below 500, and they have already came out and said that they couldn't afford Jose Ramirez, but he took a discount to stay. So I was wondering if the Angels would consider trading for Shane Bieber. He's on a one-year deal but has two more years of arbitration. What do you guys think the trade package might look like? I know everybody thinks right away Luis Castillo, but man, he really cannot stay healthy. Love the podcast, boys. Mike, thank you for your question. Thanks for reaching out to us at Locked On Angels on Twitter. I have had this question floating around in my mind for a while, and Shane Bieber seems like a win now move for the Angels come the trade deadline. And if they want somebody to add to this rotation, I think that he's the kind of win now move that you make. My only concern, and this has been a concern of baseball and baseball writers, is that Shane Bieber's fastball velocity has taken a dip since last season. In fact, his last start, he was throwing maximum 89. And I'm concerned about that. So I think that there is still time for the Angels to kind of sit back and watch that situation, because I think Bieber would be a great win now move if he's healthy and if he's the Bieber who was the Cy Young Bieber of 2020. But Mike, what, or 2019. So what do you think, Mike?
I think that the reason why the Angels pitched Chase Silseth on Friday was a show me game. I think they wanted to show what they had in the minor leagues so that they could tease other teams that we have arms that we could trade to get somebody from your team.
That's a good point.
I agree with you. If Bieber's healthy, bring him in, because Bieber is going to be a guy that's going to slot in at the top of our rotation. He is not going to be a guy like a Tyler Mahle or somebody like a Shane McClanahan that is going to slot in at four or five. He's going to slot in at two at least, right? Because with Ohtani, he's going to be your number one, and then obviously Syndergaard's in there, but that is what you want for the playoffs. I think we need four really strong starting pitchers for the playoffs, because Ohtani isn't going to pitch more than maybe once in a seven-game series, possibly twice, and so you're going to need the three other guys to pitch really, really well, and so to have a Bieber and a Syndergaard follow him up, that'll be incredible. I am concerned about the low velocity, because that's always an indication of something's happening,
wrong.
Right?
Yeah.
Whether it's an injury or he's just not throwing the ball with the same rate or the same spin rate, right? But I talked to our nephews today, by the way, and one of the things that they said was they would make that trade all along. In fact, they argued about it. They would probably be more entertaining on this show than you and I. But they agreed with a trade for Bieber. And I think a package would be like maybe a Silseth and possibly a Joe Adell. I think that you would give those two guys and trade them away. And all of those Angel fans that might say, no, not Silseth, here's the reality. You didn't even know his name before last Friday, right? And so don't fall in love so quickly with a guy that could be a benefit to our team in a trade package that could help us win the World Series this year. So let's not get so caught up in one guy. I love him. I thought he pitched well. I love his humble attitude, and I think he's going to be an asset to us. However, let's not fall in love so quickly that we don't think, hey, he could be a benefit to bringing in a really strong arm.
Yeah, if we look at the Guardians' top 10, I've got it here on the screen on YouTube, but just for those on the audio side, they have a lot of infield help. They've got some pitchers in their top 10. They've also got some outfielders, so they got a good spread of the kinds of players that you want to bring up to the majors. Mike, look at their arrival times, though. The ETAs on these guys, some of them are this year, some of them are next year, and then the latest in the top 10 is 2024.
Okay.
So some of these guys are going to make an immediate impact on a struggling Guardians team probably this season. So if we had to trade out of a need for the Guardians, if the Guardians needed somebody, I think a Trey Cabbage might be somebody who is close to being ready and somebody that they would want to see come up and play for them possibly this season. And of course, anytime you talk about trades, you got to talk about Joe Adell. And I'm wondering if that is going to be the move that the Angels make when it comes to the trade deadline. So this year is going to be really interesting, everyone. So make sure that you're listening to Locked On Angels, because we're going to cover it all once that trade deadline approaches and what the Angels decide to do. You know that they're going to make the moves to make them win, and it's going to break some hearts along the way. So we'll see what happens there.
I really think that as I look at that list, I think that they're could be a potential of maybe some win now or play now players, and then possibly some that are continuing to develop, right? Like like a Gatewood, who is down in the minors right now for us, somebody that maybe in 2 or 3 years would actually be up. So that might be the package. Give them a couple of play now guys, and then maybe one or two guys that have potential for the future, right?
Absolutely.
Well, we appreciate them making Locked On Angels their first listen of the day. And now for their second listen, check out the Locked On MLB podcast with Paul Francis Sullivan. He brings his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present, and his podcast is free and available wherever you get podcasts.
We appreciate you sending in your questions and reaching out to our voicemail. If you want to give us a call anytime, you can do that. 714-409-6396. That number will be in the episode description. If you want to send in questions or just reach out to us, you can get us at Locked On Angels on Twitter. You can also connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at Super Halo Bros. Mike, what do we have on deck for tomorrow's episode?
With Trout getting some days off, there's been a lot of chatter about, like, why? Why is he getting a day off? How come he's not in the lineup? What's going on? So John and I will actually discuss how many games Mike Trout must play this year.
Love it. Until tomorrow's episode, my name is John, and that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike, and that's my brother John.
And we'll see you right here tomorrow on Locked On Angels.